I wouldn't say it's a long preseason. They're all different. I will say it's interesting. It's the first time I've actually had training camp in the place where you work in the last few years. So that was different for me. Normally you go away, you get a little time to really galvanize and just all ball all the time. A little different when you're at home, though. I mean, I definitely like the idea. Now, whether or not it makes sense, that's a whole other subject. You know, where you go, how far away is it, what are the facilities like. There's a lot of, you know, intangibles that go into making that decision. But I do think that there's positives and there's negatives either way with taking training camp somewhere else. I'll start with Rex. A lot of discussion went into that decision. I would tell you that we kept two quarterbacks because we felt like there was other players on the roster right now that could contribute to winning games on Sundays. The second question was the backup running backs and pass protection. I would tell you that from my perspective, my job is to make sure the guys on the team are talented enough to play and perform. And, you know, we think we got guys that can play and perform. And I think the coaches have done a great job of preparing those guys. And pass protection is a part of that. And so if they're called upon, I'm pretty sure they'll go out there and they'll contribute to the roster the best way they can. And then the final one was the backup offensive line. I stated this from the beginning that we're going to be able to control the line of scrimmage at some point in time. We're going to want to run the football. We're going to want to be good up front, and you got to have quality depth up front to do that. And so we went and added guys to the roster that we thought could improve our depth and give us a chance to be as good up front as we can be. I'm good with our receiving core. I think the guys that we kept give us an opportunity to be dynamic in a lot of different ways. We have guys that I think can stretch the field. We have guys I think can be good with the football in their hands, and that's what you want. I will say that the decision not to keep Nate was a tough one. Good conversation between he and I about what went into that decision. I'll leave that conversation private. But I do think that in all my time in football, he's right up there with the pros of how it was handled, what was said, and how that whole thing was orchestrated. I just set no numbers. Each week is different. So for me, it's a 1 week season every single week, and it changes. It's interesting. As long as I've been in this league, they're never the same. You feel good about this 1 week, and next week you don't feel good about it. And then you're constantly in this flux. The roster's always in flux. People get hurt. Things happen. You have a different need this week than you had the previous. So I just count them all one by one. So this is the first one, and we'll see how ready we are on come Sunday. Right. I'm always confident. I believe in what those guys are. If I didn't believe them, they wouldn't be here. So they've earned my confidence by the things that they've done. Like I said, I said this originally. The interesting thing about the National Football League is that people don't believe it until they see it. Like, who would have thought that any player on another roster was who that player was until he performed in real games? So, I mean, it doesn't go without the speculation. I know people are going to ask the question, but guys got to go out and demonstrate that they're capable of playing at this level. And then people either recognize that the guy can play or he can't. And in that time is when we'll make another decision if we have to. But right now, I'm confident with the young men on this team of what they're going to be able to go accomplish. Not at all. There's no reason to waver. Talent is talent. I think the question for that I think everyone wants to know is, how come I don't know him? How come I've never heard of that guy? And I can't answer that question. I don't know the answer to it. I know that our scouts do a really good job of hitting the streets and figuring out who's who on what's roster and when we can pick up a guy and who's out there for it to make our team better. And that's all we're focused on, is making the team better. As incrementally as that may seem to anyone else, we think that we're preparing a roster that can win games. No, I mean, the league ebbs and flows. I mean, there's a time when small receivers were in vogue and everybody's like, oh, why do we have these big guys? They're not fast. They're not quick. Well, guess what? The league is predicated on how you play and what you ask those guys to do. If we want to throw jump balls, we probably should go get tall guys. If we want to run precision routes, we probably should go get route runners. I mean, it's styles make fights. I mean, at the end of the day, it's what you're asking a guy to do. If you want to stand and throw jump balls and fade routes, then you should probably go get tall players. If you're going to run routes and get guys in and out of breaks, not all of those big guys run the short area routes that are out there. I would tend to say it's good scouting. I would tend to say it comes down to our guys finding the guys that can help us. I don't know if that number really ever comes into my mind as to, oh, well, my goodness, we passed 15. We can't be over 15. Cut somebody. Like, that just never comes into play. You just want guys that can perform their task at a high level. And so, you know, there's several teams even now that are one, two guys different than we are in the league, and somehow there is the notion that we have too many college free agents. But doesn't bother me one iota that whether a guy was drafted or not. I think one-third of the league is made up of college free agents. So we have our share. Johnny's right where he needs to be. We said this was going to be a process. We said that he's going to get his opportunities, and we said that he was going to come in and compete. And he did all of those things. He took the bull by the horns, and he's where he needs to be. As long as he continues to work hard, he's coming along at the rate that he needs to. How do I think he played in the preseason? He had his ups and downs. He had moments where you could say, hey, look, the talent's in there. He can do it. He had other moments where that weren't so exciting. So I'll say this. There's a learning curve for everybody, and I'd rather a guy learn in preseason what his threshold is and what he can tolerate and what he can't than to put him out in a regular season game and then watch something happen to him to where he didn't get a chance to test his limits. So I feel good about Justin. He's growing. He's working hard. He's playing well, and he'll get a chance to demonstrate how good he is over time. I would say the defenses are they're different, and they're different because simple. We're gonna press you, and we're going to challenge you. We're going to put a lot more pressure on our back end. I think there's been a lot of discussion about the number of DBs we kept, but we're going to ask guys to play in a way that you got to go play. You got to go step up every Sunday and get your hands on guys, play aggressive at the line of scrimmage, and cover them. And that's going to make us a lot more dynamic up front. And so without saying too much, that's how Pett orchestrates his scheme and what Jimmy O'Neill and those guys do on the defense. That'll come from our coaching staff. But I do think the difference from us this year and last year is going to be predicated on really our coaching staff and some of the things we did in the secondary. Any unanswered questions? No, I'm excited. I really think that he's built for this. I mean, I spent a lot of time with Pett during this offseason, preparing the roster, talking about what we're going to do and what's the right thing for this football team. And I can assure you, when you talk about football and you look in this man's eyes, he believes that he's going to prepare his team to go do battle every single week. And so I'm bought in. I don't know if everybody else is bought in, but I'm bought in. I know who Mike Pettine is, and I believe it. A little bit. It's been done. But I will say that anytime you get to your 53, you keep your best 53 guys, you know, regardless of position. I mean, the worst thing happens is you cut a guy that can play and you know can play, then somebody else scoops him up and he goes and he plays well for them. So in our mind, it's when you have an excess or you have specifically a corner, I mean, when you have guys that we think can play in this league, you hold on to them. You know, the worst case is when you let them go and then somebody gets them. And that's what happens. I think our scouting staff has done a really good job in my mind of looking at other rosters, because when you look at the other players that either got signed to practice squads or were retained on teams, we go through an exercise of trying to decide who's going to make rosters, like everybody else, to try to predetermine who's going to get released. Good players don't get cut. A lot of times, teams find a way to stash them. And when they don't, it's our job to then scoop in and scoop those guys up. I feel good about Brian. He's going to do exactly what Brian does, which is, we're at a point now where when you get in the regular season, you become a lot more focused. Things get a lot more honed in, and Brian's going to be prepared. He's a pro's pro. He studies it. He works at it. He's committed to being that guy. And, his performance will speak for itself on Sunday, but I feel confident that he's going to go out there and play well. It's never settled. It's the never-ending movie. So for us, it's like I said, there's teams that take different strategies in how they release and organize their team. And as we go through this process, there'll be opportunities to get other players. And if those players are worthy of being here, we're going to take advantage of where we're at right now. And having the fourth claiming order, you get to jump a lot of teams for a guy that you see out there that you want. And so you got to take advantage of that while you have it. And that's what we plan on doing. I think we see the game the same way. I will defer to Pett and say I think his football mind may be a little superior to mine on the X's and O's. But generically, I think as we think about how to build a football team and what we like and how we want to play, I think we see it almost identical. I referenced this before when I got my opportunity to be the general manager, that there's a lot of things that me and Pett never discussed before his hiring. Like, we'd never sat down and just talked about philosophically how I feel and how he feels. And I would say 90-95% of that stuff just lines up right along. It's just, I don't know, it's inherent to what he grew up with and what I kind of came along to discover, that those philosophies do match up very well. There was. there were several. I don't want to single anyone out, but I will tell you that the one guy that I'm proud of at the moment, and we'll find out if he can really handle it, is Taylor Gabriel. If you're looking for a guy that I think answered the call and did what he was supposed to do and showed people that he deserves a chance to play in this league, it was Taylor Gabriel. So I will give him his shout-out and credibility that Now you, when you see the people and you smell the popcorn, we'll find out if it really then all holds together.
Who gets the credit for finding him?
Yeah. Who gets the credit for finding him?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people, the scouting department, the coaching staff, because they had to work with him, they had to develop him, they had to give him his opportunities, he had to get here. But inevitably, the guy that gets the credit for it is Taylor Gabriel, because he believed in himself enough to come here and demonstrate his talents.